forbid this recording.
Okay, we're ready.
Yes.
Let's pray, everybody. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us gather today in your name, Lord, for the services and the Sunday school. I pray you just bless us and everything that's done. May it all be for your glory. Help us in teaching the Sunday school this morning. And pray you bless all the services upstairs, Lord, just know the ministers that just be ours to hear. Give us understanding of your word as it comes forth, I pray. We thank you for the day and for all the blessings you've given us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay. I want to straighten out one thing from last time. I had taught two lessons last time back to back, and I had said I was going to be arrogant and about something. I was arrogant, I think, about a lot of things, okay? All right, it sounded like it anyway. But on that second lesson, right at the start of it, I specifically allotted 15 minutes for talking about mine and Gabby's marriage and about dreams that Eula had and so forth. And I felt like that was being arrogant. But all I was simply doing is trying to show y'all how that you put Christ in your marriage and God will bless you for it. And that's all that I took those dreams to mean. It might have not meant anything. Mm-hmm. I was just assuming that the Lord was telling us, I'm pleased with what you're doing. Okay, mm-hmm. That's all I was trying to say. I wasn't trying to brag about anything we've done. I hope it wasn't taken that way. Mm-hmm. But later in this lesson, I'm going to try to get back into that topic about marriage and putting Christ in your marriage. And it'll start to make more sense. Mm-hmm. Because I believe in seeking God in every facet of your life, every single thing, individually and together in your marriage and on your job, and wherever you're able to, think about the Lord, meditate, pray, and read your Bible, and so forth.
Amen.
So, I just wanted to set that straight because I didn't feel right about that. So today we're going to talk, among other things, we're going to talk about fish sticks. Right? Has anybody ever seen a fish stick in its natural habitat?
No.
All right, don't laugh yet. Now,
we might not want to.
Listen to the story. Oh, it's cut off. That's perfect. Y'all can't even read it. The pipefish.
You read it for us.
I'll read it down here in the little fine print.
All right.
The bent stick pipefish occurs in marine waters throughout much of Indo-West Pacific. In Australia, it is known from the central coast of Western Australia, around the tropical north and south to central New South Wales. The bent stick pipefish has a long snout and a head that projects at a slight angle to the body. Its coloration is variable from yellow to brown, red or black, also commonly called the stick fish. The fish stick. These creatures are captured, battered, and fried and can be typically found in the frozen section of supermarkets.
Oh, come on.
All right.
Now we're not getting shit there in. Come on. This is going downhill, Larry.
Hey, Brother Bob.
You could have got the front end.
Everything is going to be like cut off because it's only showing like the center. Is there a way to zoom out? Maybe you can on this.
Supposed to be there. So it should be something to make it fit the screen.
Right. Yeah.
Is it PowerPoint? Is that PowerPoint?
Yeah.
You have to do it on his computer, not on that.
Oh. There's not a zoom on this thing?
I don't think so.
No.
Okay. Can we have a pause? Y'all just think amongst yourselves while Brother Bob comes and fixes it. You have another problem I'm having?
We're sorry.
What's your name? You got something? Do whatever you need. Because everything's going to be cut off a lot.
Christian?
Like,
They weren't both the same name, were they? I thought her name was different from Becky Brown.
Anyway, the little Collins girl that
ran around
with Becky all the time, Brother Brown. We have got a testimony of her on our website.
Oh.
And that, everybody ought to listen to that. They really should. I mean, you know, she was raised in Brother Brown's home. She told some very good stuff. This guy was interviewing her, and he was asking her questions. So it's Becky, isn't it? What's her name?
Smaller than that, too.
Have y'all ever heard Brother Rob talk about little Becky Collins?
I had
or might not have been Becky. What was her name?
It was Collins and Lassie.
Can you go back to your
Anyway, we were looking at the things on our website. It's under testimony. And she's called.
Flash drive. Was that computer work still on?
It's her name.
Today's.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay. What'd you do?
I changed the screen size.
I mean, she told a lot of stuff that Brother Brown told her.
Make it big.
Our church was.
Yes, one second. Wait a second. Yeah, that's got it. Thank you. Everybody give Sister Becky a cheer. I'm a truck driver, so I don't know a lot about technology, and this was a Christmas gift, so I'm learning the new stuff. I'm not keeping up.
Okay. We all got our jobs.
Alright. So y'all remember me talking a few years ago about sheep, right? I'm going to do another lesson about sheep, this time a little bit more in depth. Okay. The reason for that little story was to show you how gullible we are, okay, like sheep. And I would have believed that story. I know some of y'all caught on to it, but I would have believed it if someone told me that there is such a thing as a fish stick swimming in the ocean.
That's right.
But they actually use processed white fish meat and so forth. I'm sure you know. Alright, so all we like sheep have gone astray. The title is the last part there, Gone Astray. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Psalm 119:176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. So the objective is to better understand the sheep-like nature we have as humans and to recognize that we have a tendency to go astray. I'm going to put out some definitions for y'all because I know I'm going to step on some toes, and I'm not meaning to call anybody stupid, but actually there's a good definition here in a minute about stupid, what it really means. In Scripture, we are likened unto sheep. This is due to our sheep-like nature and results in a great need for a shepherd to guide us. Okay. Stupid is having or showing a great lack of intelligence, which is a kind of derogatory way to use it, or common sense. And I'm talking about the common sense part, all right? So if you use that word in this lesson, I'm not calling anybody stupid, like in the derogatory sense, all right? Intelligence is the ability to acquire and apply knowledge and skills. We all have that, right? We know we have that, and we're not lacking that, so we're not stupid in that sense. We have the ability to acquire knowledge and skill. That's why we're here. We're learning about the Lord, and we're growing. Like humans, sheep are actually intelligent. However, due to their instincts, they can easily be led astray. Right? Ignorant means lacking knowledge or awareness in general, uneducated or unsophisticated. And for a Christian, that's actually a good place to be in. You're actually in a good position if you are uneducated, unsophisticated. But if you are educated, you know, I mean, I have a little bit of college education, and I have to actually try to suppress that sometimes because I get to this know-it-all mentality, this intellectual mentality, and that's not the way to approach God. All right. My next lesson is going to be about humility and talking about how we approach God in humility and in a humble way. Okay, so just laying some of these things out there, not calling anybody dumb, all right? I just really want everybody to recognize how bad we need a shepherd, a fivefold ministry. We need the Holy Ghost to guide us and direct us, okay? And the sooner we can recognize that, the better. All right, so there is no such thing as being too dumb to understand the mysteries of God.
David,
he reveals them to babes, to the uneducated, the unsophisticated, the simple, and the humble. The devil will tell you you're too dumb to understand. You know, often he tells me that. It's not too hard or too complex to understand. We simply need to read, listen, and pray, then trust God to bring the understanding, the revelation.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to play a little bit of a tape. If this technology will work. I already get that speaker over there to work, so I had to bring something else. I just wanted y'all to follow along because this is a lengthy quote, so that's why I'm letting Brother Brennan read it to us. from the unveiling of God.
And so it'll be on their hearts just as it was that day. Notice, they have to stay away from it now. You must go into it through this veil or you won't. How God could have mercy on them. But remember what it was. That God is manifesting what was behind that veil. Watch what was behind the veil. The Word. What did it veil? The Word. What was it? It's in the ark. It was the Word that that veil hid. And Jesus was that Word. And He is that Word. And the veil of His flesh hid. And today the veil of tradition hides the Word again, saying it's not so, but it is so. God's testifying of it, blasting Himself right out as bright as the sun before everyone. And if they receive
it. See, the Word of God is not far off. It's nigh thee, the Bible says. He's in thy heart and in thy mouth, the Word of faith which we preach, yes. Right? Romans 10:8. He's trying to reveal Himself. It's us that's lacking because we're not studying and praying and seeking God like we should. He's here. He's very prevalent and very available to us, right? And Brother Barron said that he's blasting Himself right out as bright as the sun. He's not trying to hide Himself. He hides Himself from the wise and prudent, but to us He's trying to reveal if we'll make ourselves available, if we'll humble ourselves. Okay, let's go on with that.
Amen. God
be
merciful. And tight. Moses coming from the presence of God with the Word of God for that age. Now watch. We're now in Exodus 19. Don't miss this now. Exodus 19. Moses is coming from the presence of God. Or 2021. 19-2021. Moses is coming from the presence of God. He has been into the Word. The Word's been wrote. And he in the presence of God with the Word. He had the Word for that age. There's a Word for each age. And Moses coming forth, his face shining so. See, the Word was in him, ready to be manifested. Give out to the people. The true Word. God had wrote it. And it was with Moses. Notice, it was with Moses and was ready to be manifested. He was the Word to them. He was the living Word. He had veiled Himself. Moses had to put a veil over his own face. Why? He was that Word.
Amen.
Amen. Until that Word was made known, Moses had to veil Himself.
Okay. That was that. Just give y'all something to think about. Sheep instinctively follow the lead sheep and their flock. Okay, I looked all this up on Wikipedia if you want to verify some of this. Similar to our instinct, the Adamic nature. Okay, sometimes that leader can be just the first sheep that moves to another location. You know, sheep just follow that instinct. It's so ingrained in them. They can actually like the grass they're eating. They can be getting fed good food. And then all of a sudden the other flock just sort of migrates, or whatever you call it, over to another part of the field, say over there. And this one sheep's like, well, I like this food, but here I'll go. I just follow along because it's so instinctive. He's not really thinking about it. It's just an instinct. And however, sheep often follow the oldest mother, which is called the ewe. I think it's how you pronounce that, in the flock. So like Eve. If you notice, ewe is like half a letter off from being Eve. Humans do the same thing. We tend to follow our mother Eve. You know what? That nature, that reasoning on the Word of God instead of letting God reveal it to you. And like the denominational churches, following the mother whore, you know, the daughter harlots following the mother whore, and so forth. We tend to follow the old mother. And we do that, that's just by our nature. It's our instinct, if you will. That's part of us that we have to overcome. Now, Brother Branham saying, God hide Himself in simplicity. This paragraph 120 was because that man was made up in the beginning not to try to shift for himself. A man was made to rely completely upon God. That's the reason we're likened unto lambs or sheep. A sheep cannot lead himself. He has to have a leader, and the Holy Spirit is supposed to lead us. So man is made that way. Brother Dale is always talking about how that God made things how He wanted them. In the Garden of Eden, if you want to know how God wants something, you look back to the pattern, to the original. And you know how God wanted it. And in the beginning, in the garden, He made man, Brother Branham said, with that nature. He made man with this part of him that he needs a shepherd. He needs to be led, right? But we'll follow the other leading, follow the wrong leading if we're not careful. Okay, and we'll go off on our own way, especially if we choose not to follow anybody. We'll go off on our own way if we choose not to follow a pastor or whatever. Got to try to hurry through some of these because this is a long lesson. As sheep, we have a natural tendency to go astray from common sense and sound doctrine. So what I want to do is talk about these list of things here, just mostly natural examples to show you how stupid we really are, right? And a lot of things in life. I'm not teaching about finances or parenting and driving. I'm just going to show you how dumb, stupid, whatever you want to call us, in those things of life, if we don't seek a coach or a wisdom, you know, if we don't seek godly counsel or whatever about some of those things. So first we're going to talk about financially, just for a moment. Dave Ramsey, y'all are all familiar with him, I think. What this man, and I agree with him, I appreciate him, I'm not condemning anything he does because he's helped my wife and I a lot. But what he does, if you really think about it, at its root, this man is making money off of telling people to balance their checkbook. Yes. You shouldn't have to be told to do that. Or telling people to live below what they make. Yes. You shouldn't have to be told to do that. He always said, I teach you what your grandma taught you, but I keep my teeth in. All he's doing is saying, this is what you're supposed to do. You know it, now go do it. Right? So he's just a shepherd in that regard. And these are some of his slogans. Common sense is not really that common. Common sense is so uncommon that it is now deemed a superpower. Okay? All we like sheep have gone astray, even in our finances. We just go, just do what feels right. Just do what feels good. Borrow up to our ears and make little, but spend a whole lot and wonder why we're having problems. Mm-hmm. Parenting. Modern parents typically do not spank their children because they consider that to be abusive. I'm not so much talking about here. I'm talking about like in the world. You go into Walmart and stuff and people are babying their children to try to suffice them, you know, instead of just giving them a good spanking. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. These are the guidelines in the Bible about raising children. Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Proverbs 22:6, train up the child in the way he should go, and when he's old, not depart from it. But all we like sheep have gone astray. We just go do what feels right. Maybe Junior will behave a little better if I try this or try that. No, just give him a good spanking. And then reward him when he does good, you know. I'm not an expert parent. I'm just trying to, you know, base my parenting on the Bible, the best thing I know how. Yeah. And what Brother Branham said and what Brother Dale says. Get a lot of good instruction from these men. Driving. All right. I drive for a living and watch a lot of people. Actually, I don't drive as much as I do just watch people because it's not that hard to stay in between the lines. It's hard to not hit someone.
Right.
Because everyone likes to plant their car in front of a tractor trailer often, more than you would think. Or in front of whatever vehicle you drive. You all know what happens.
Yeah.
There's a couple of basic principles in driving that I'm going to discuss with you that are often neglected. And we know to do these things. Everybody knows the 3-second rule. Everybody knows to keep a good following distance. Even if you don't count to 3, I don't. I just stay really far away from people. Mm-hmm. They jab on the brakes, and I can't stop in time. I'm too close, you know.
Right.
So just follow far away, and you'll be all right. And the speed limit, commonly broken. Now, in those two laws, I see those broken very often, and I see wrecks result from it. I see maybe a couple of wrecks a week on average, driving as much as I do. I saw one wreck like this several years ago after I first started driving. I was coming up 60. It's a 4-lane divided highway, and I was right on Thompson Bridge Road. All right on Thompson Bridge, and there was a combo of cars like this passing me because I'm a big stinky chicken truck. I was running a speed limit, and they were all going just a tad over to get around me. That's okay. The one in front decided to stop really hard because of a little piece of plastic in the road. Kind of dumb, but that's okay. It would have been all right if the other ones were not following so close. The problem was that one was being followed very close by 3 or 4 other cars. My window was down because it was hot, and I heard with all these cars banging into each other. And I looked down there and I thought, y'all are so stupid. In reality, I know I'm as dumb as they are. I'm not any smarter than them. I'm just trying to follow good and sound advice and instruction by not falling close. So they all probably thought, well, it's this guy's fault. Is it really? If you're not been following close, you wouldn't have hit them. These are simple things. We just let's go astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. We do what everybody else does. It doesn't matter if it makes sense or not. Don't even have critical thought. We just do it because everybody else is doing it. In your finances and in your driving and your parenting, just try what everybody else does. It seems to work. And I don't need to really talk about the speed limit. Y'all know what it is. It's there. We have this one little speed zone over by our house. Now the construction is on. It's 35. Used to be 55. Every single time I come through, there's a car right on my bumper, about a mile long. I've passed by tanker trucks, gas tankers passed me in the center turning lane, of all things. Yeah, very dangerous, but it's just the speed limit. It is what it is. I don't ask questions. Anyway.
We're about 5 miles over.
I don't even do that anymore. That's just, you know. Mm-hmm. See, I look at the speed limit as like it's a limit. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people take the speed limit and say, well, that's a good starting point. Let's go up from there. Let's build on that.
Yeah. I'm with you, Ron.
I think it's like a limit, like they say. It's called.
Suggestion.
Yeah, suggestion. Yeah, there's a suggestion to most people.
Okay. 110 months. 110? Way to go, Trudy. Got there.
Confession guilty, isn't it? Career. This is not so much about what you do for a career. This is about, you know, putting God in your career choice when you choose what you're going to do and how you go about doing it. I made a big mistake over this several years ago. I had a trial and a test and I failed. But we went back and made it right. In our career choices, we often lose sight of what our real goals should be in life. We strive for the best paying jobs and often fail to consider how the job will affect our relationship with the Lord. We should strongly consider whether a career choice will cause us to miss church or take away time from the Lord. This is another area where we, like sheep, go astray. All right, real quick, my little testimony about that. So about 10 or 11 years ago, me and Gabby were, about 11 years ago, we were engaged. And I was interested in a job where I could keep her at home. I have a strong conviction about that because what Brother Benham said, that I want my wife at home. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I have a scripture that says I need to be in church. I have these two things. I need to be in church, so I can't work so much that I have to miss church. I need to work enough to keep her at home. At the time, my God was not big enough, evidently, to fulfill both those needs. Because I said, well, my boss said, well, if you want to drive, and he was offering me the job. I didn't ask him. He said, you can have this driving job, but if you're going to drive, you've got to miss church some. I should have said, no, if you want me in the job, you make it to where I don't have to miss church. But I let my guard down because I wanted to fulfill this part. Which was all right. Keep my wife at home. That's good and honorable. But I thought, well, God can't do both. You're not big enough, Lord. So I'll just go ahead and forget that scripture for a little while. Well, 8 years I did that. We missed half the Wednesday night services for 8 years because I was having to work late every Wednesday almost, or every other Wednesday. Finally, I had this terrible conviction in my heart, and I really hated it. And I finally worked out with my boss. For 3 years now, we've not missed a single Wednesday night because I simply went to night shift. You know, we worked it out. And, you know, the Lord blessed us and helped us in that. But see, what I had done is let my guard down for that little while, and I just simply failed the test, you know. And kept praying, Lord, work it out, you know. And I kept getting the sense that, you know, you got yourself into this, you get yourself back out. I just made a mess because I was simply trying to fulfill two things and didn't think God was big enough to fulfill both those needs. Okay. All right. One of the attributes of Satan's kingdom is busyness. I don't mean work in general, business. I mean busyness. Mm-hmm. In many scriptures, Satan is depicted as wandering to and fro, restless, fearful, striving, toiling, worrying. Christ gives us peace that passes understanding, a firm foundation, promise of a future, an expected end, Jeremiah 29:11, rest, contentment, fulfillment, joy, etc. A few scriptures on that. So, y'all know the parable of the sower of the seed. The Son of Man went forth to sow the seed. And Matthew 13:18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And you know all the different things. I'll just skip down to this part. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Okay? So the business of the chores and things around the house and doing things in the yard and whatever else you got to do that you think is so important, that I think is so important. This is the biggest conflict in my life, really, for most of the time. Is this is the biggest thing I struggle with. Is trying to put God first around the house, not do all the chores first, because the chores are necessary. Sometimes they need to be done. But I'm a perfectionist and try to do them just exactly perfect, and it doesn't have to always be perfect. But the problem comes when I don't read my Bible and pray, or me and Gabby don't read and pray together until after I've done all that. Well, then I run out of time. So the thing to do is to put Christ first, always. And this is a very difficult thing. It's easier said than done. Thus, in the apex of Satan's Eden, we tend to succumb to these same attributes by setting our sights on the wrong goal. Even in our household duties, we can easily become distracted, like Martha, being careful about many things. Let's read that. Luke 10. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Martha wasn't in a honky-tonk or a bar. She wasn't doing anything really wrong. She was serving, right? Doing a good thing, good deed. And came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. He didn't say, you know, you're deep in sin, you need to go repent or anything. He just said, you're troubled and careful about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. You remember what she was doing? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she was having communion, if you will. She was hearing the word of God. And she no doubt wanted to go help, probably yearning to go help Martha and do all these chores, you know. But yet she was willing to put that down for just a minute and go listen to the Lord. Put it down for just a minute and go listen to a sermon. This is our little tiny speaker that we play sermons on in our house. And, you know, you can do that while you're doing chores, actually. Y'all know that. I know a lot of y'all do that. Sure. And Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. All right. Luke 2. Y'all remember, of course, Jesus was in the temple disputing the word with the Pharisees and so forth. At 12 years old, what we call about the age of accountability, recognizing who he is and why he's here, he said, I must be about my Father's business. And that's what we need to say. We must be about our Father's business. We tend to put like these little chores and the little things we do around the house and work and so forth right on par with Bible reading and prayer. And it's not just another thing to do. This should be up here, and then these other things are down here because they're so temporal. Okay, it's not that these are not important. For now, those things are important, but nothing in comparison to reading the Word and praying and studying and meditating. Hebrews 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Matthew 6. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Where your treasures are, there will your heart be also. Be careful not to get distracted in Satan's aid with all the cares of life. Give much time to God. And then marriage. Talked a little bit about it a while ago. Let's get into that for just a minute. Brother Branham said a lot of things about marriage and about, you know, basically he talked about Adam and Eve in the garden with the Lord, right? Having communion. And if you look up in the cool of the day, that's where I found this, in the cool of the day, if you look that up, you'll find several quotes about this. Now, in the beginning, when God came down in the evening and talked to Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, and his great voice whispered to them, and they had fellowship, loved one another. Now, or how the moving of the Spirit went through the bushes. The lions came up, the tigers, all of them, and they worshipped the Lord. Man was conscious at all times that his presence was with them. They had oneness, you know, they had a unity. And that's what you can experience if you and your spouse, if you're able to. I know not everybody's able to do that, but if you and your spouse will sit down and have communion, talk about the Lord together, fellowship, read and pray and study together, listen to sermons together, and individually. That's not to replace the individual quiet time. Right? A traditional wedding ceremony takes place in a church sanctuary before a preacher and in the presence of both God and man. Presumably, the couple being married adhere to this tradition because they desire for God to bless their marriage. You would think that when people are going to the altar for a wedding ceremony, right, that obviously the reason they're doing that and having this traditional thing is because, in the presence of God and man, is because they want a blessing on their marriage. They want God to make their marriage fruitful. Or else they're just following tradition, whichever. Make it a lasting and fruitful, a holy matrimony. Which I don't know, holy means like sanctified, or means consecrated to God. It means God is in it, basically is what I'm saying. However, though they be Christians, after the wedding ceremony, they fail to seek God collectively in their marriage. Now, I'm not de-Christianizing anybody. I'm not saying they're not Christians. You can both be and do your individual quiet time, but just forget to come together and do that together with you and the Lord. Okay, and there's a great blessing in that. There really is. All right. This is yet another way we, like sheep, go astray. After the wedding, a true holy matrimony should invite God into the marriage and into the home through daily Bible reading and prayer, talking about the Lord, listening to sermons, etc. Spend time together with the Lord. And then the last thing, this is going to go into our part two next week because I'm out of time pretty much. The Christian life. This is the most important thing I want to get to. I'm only like halfway through this lesson. So if we're not careful, we can go astray even in our Christian experience. 2 Peter 3:17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. We're not immune, okay? We have to keep steady going. This is a race we're running still. 2 Peter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You know, people really do speak evil. The message in general, you know, the world speaks evil of us, but there's even folks within the message that speak evil of this church and of our pastor and so forth. They don't understand. 1 Peter 2:25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul, the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to play a little game with y'all. I think this is, this is a little game called Name That Preacher. I've got a quote here from one of our five ministers in this church. I'm going to start trying to do this in some of my lessons. I want to read the quote to you. It's very profound. The reason for doing this is because of, what is that scripture? Prophet is not without honor in his own country and among his own kin. Mark 6:4. You say, well, Brother Dale's my, you know, kinfolk, or it's just Brother Dale, it's just Brother Wade, it's just Brother Bob. You know, what could God? I know we don't really come right out and say it, but in our heart we really think it. By our actions we prove, because we don't go back and hear these sermons. Mm-hmm. My conviction is that we should listen to these men, the tapes, here over and over and over until we really understand. Because you don't get it. I don't. I'll just say that. I don't get it just sitting in the service. Mm-hmm. All right. Distractions, sleepiness, and so forth. Kids and whatnot. All right. This is a really good quote from our pastor. I want y'all to see that God is in our fivefold ministry. That's why I'm doing this. Okay. He is really here. What about the constant listening to the Word and letting the Word clean you out? Mm-hmm. Now, who do you think said that? One of the five ministers here. Take a wild guess. Bob. Oh, good guess. Wait a second. It's Brother Dale. Close. Right, now, that was on 1-7, the AM service. The sermon was Salvation, Why Must We Be Born Again? I put a time stamp where you can find that an hour and 25 minutes into the service. What about the constant listening to the Word and letting the Word clean you out? Do y'all believe that?
Amen.
That's a constant thing. It's not, well, I put in my duty, I listen to one sermon today, I'm okay. Listen to as many as you have time for, as many as you can make time for. Brother Dale, this was Brother Dale in his reference to Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. You know, he was trying to explain what the new birth is to Nicodemus. And Brother Dale, just right in the middle of that, just says, what about the constant listening to the Word? And the Word have... and we're cleaning you out. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 6:12, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. This is me. I have witnessed our fivefold ministers inherit the promise of the new birth. Thus I follow them. I see what they're doing. Brother Dale stands up often, not bragging. I've never took it as bragging when he stands up and says, I used to listen to two tapes a day and read six books. I take that as my pastor telling me how he got in such a progressed level of revelation, so close with the Lord. I want to be there too. This is the path I follow. Right? God is not a respecter of persons. If Brother Dale got there that way, I'll get there that way. So, that you be not slothful, you need to study then. But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. God keeps His word. Brother Branham said, this is one Brother Aaron made reference to a couple weeks ago in his sermon. But you go to a place where a pastor is a solid gospel teacher, like ours, all hell will never move that church. Okay, really strong quote. Jesus Christ sent yesterday, today, and forever. It works so much greater in foreign countries than it does in America because we have been so indoctrinated with different teachings and so forth, till many times we fail to get the real power of the gospel out of the gospel. because we try to make it so complicated, and to see how simple it is, we miss it by that way. Yes. Might have to. How many more minutes do I got?
7.
Good. Okay, so we go by real people time. I wasn't sure if we're going by that clock. I'm really late by that clock.
Well,
that one says like 3 more minutes.
You only got 3 minutes.
Okay, all right, never mind. I'll try to cut it off. One more quote.
Give us 5 minutes to get up there.
Yeah. God hides himself with simplicity. We expect it to be some great something, and we miss the simple thing. We stumble over simplicity. That's how we miss God, is by stumbling over simplicity. God is so simple until the scholars of these days and all days miss him a million miles, because in their intellect they know that there's nothing like him so great, but in his revelation he makes it so simple. Go plumb over the top of it. Alright, we're gonna, let me see here. 1 more minute?
You got 1 minute.
1 minute. All right. One thing. Do you find yourself lacking revelation? Does God not deal with you as much as you would like? This is not his fault. He is not slack concerning his promise. 2 Peter 3:9. We'll pick up there the next time. I'm going to go ahead and cut off. Still a long ways to go. Thank you.
That's why you got all month, brother.